Welcome to Invitations to Play, Learn, Grow, the podcast. I am your creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. For anyone who needs a reminder or might be new to our show, my name is Teresa, but I'm known as the creative solutions creator and professional mess maker. I am back. As I said I would be on the flip side, we are in 2022. Yikes. I am back to continue diving into learning and building new skills through play. And I have several different things I want to touch on this week. As we kick off this new year, I want to make sure we do so on the right foot. The focus for the podcast for the year of 2022 is going to be this: give kids the invitations to play so they may choose play over consumption. I am already hearing parents and caregivers frustration over how much time kids are spending on iPads or tablets and computers and televisions. And I am here to help you reduce that. I am also here in this time of still virtual learning to help you reduce the boredom and frustration around virtual learning. A big part of what I do here on the podcast, as well as at thecreativecampusonline.com through all of the programs and services that I offer, is to take learning off the page, out of the book, or in this case, off the screen. And then we turn it into a tangible, hands-on experience. Kids learn best when they get to experience the lesson. Now, that can take many different formats. I have said before, I myself am a visual and auditory learner. I learn easiest by watching or observing and listening. If you give me something to read off a page or out of a book, and then ask me questions about it, I'm going to most likely look at you and go, I don't know. That's just how I'm wired. And a lot of kids are. Another thing that I want to talk about this week is something that I'm also hearing about. And it's becoming more and more prevalent. And it's heartbreaking. And it's something that affects all of us. So it doesn't matter your age. And it's the mental and emotional exhaustion that we are all experiencing. I talked about this in the early months of the pandemic, and then I tried to kind of gear away from that to more positive solutions to that problem, but I'm going to circle back starting this week because it's really sad to hear how this monster has reared its ugly head yet again. And this time it could be a long-term problem because we have mentally and emotionally and socially been through so much that was out of our control. And I mean all of us, from one to 100, no matter your age. We've all experienced this in the last several years since the world got turned upside down. But we don't have to panic. We can relieve the mental and emotional and social exhaustion for ourselves and for the kids in our lives. I hear people talk about not any longer feeling joy or feeling like they are trapped in Groundhog's Day. And I don't mean to laugh because that's not funny, but Groundhog's Day, that's kind of funny. Life, I think, for most of us, for a little bit of this time or big chunks of this time, has felt like we were on a stinking hamster wheel. You get up, you go through the same routine, you talk to the same people, you do the same things, da 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 da, and every day is the same thing. And while in the beginning that change of pace was great, because we were, well, burned out with the day-to-day grind of commuting to and from work and school every day, and going to sports practice or dance practice or whatever, or driving the kids all over town, and then trying to maintain friendships in social settings and all of that. So it was a great change of pace when all of that seemed to stop. But it wasn't great for very long, because we started to miss that familiarity, that sense of being connected to things. And the longer that went on, the harder it has become to see a need, in some cases, to be connected to that stuff. And that happens for the kids in our lives, too. I am also hearing parents and caregivers say that they've noticed a change in the kids in their lives where they don't seem to miss interacting with their friends anymore. The asking, when can I see so-and-so? When can I go do this activity? When can I go do that activity again? Has either slowed or stopped. We can reverse that. We can make things still feel good. We can bring back to life the desire to have more social, emotional connection to the things we're doing and the people around us. And so I want to spend the majority of the time around the fun aspect, the things we can do to reverse these things. Because the things we can do to reverse that social, mental, emotional void, and the things that we can do to make virtual learning for the kids in our lives more tangible, more beneficial, are very, very similar, if not the same. If you follow me not just through this podcast, but also on my social media, especially my Instagram, you may have noticed that in the month of December and continuing into January, I am continuing the conversation around a couple of overlapping topics. Gingerbread villages, Candyland, and Lego. These are things that when I was in the classroom, I offered over and over and over again, and the kids always had a blast with all of these topics because you can refresh them again and again and again. And though the topic is the same and some of the learning might be the same, the experiences are new each and every time. And you can use the familiar aspect to gauge how much kids remember from the last time you did it last year and now. And again, that's one of the things that I'm hearing is that kids are starting to experience that learning slide. If that is the case for your learner, again, I do offer a virtual learning experience for gaining back ground from that unfortunate slide. What I want to encourage you to do today is to infuse more hands-on experiences to the lessons that online school is trying to teach. Now, this might require reviewing what it is that the curriculum is covering, maybe for the week. So looking at the overall lessons, and that may mean that you have to get a syllabus from the teacher or have a virtual conference with the teacher and say, what are the big topics you're going to touch on for the weeks of this month, so that you can get a better idea of what the goal is that the teacher is going to want your child to learn. And then I would encourage you to take those lessons and the information that the teacher has taught to the child and make it tangible. So you're making a connection between the information and the lesson, and you're turning it into an experience so that your child can make a connection to the information versus just consuming the information. And what ends up happening is they go through the motions and the information goes in one ear and out the other because there's no way for them to retain it, because there's no way for them to connect to it. And so I'm going to give you some examples here. Let's take a basic subject that we can apply to basically every age, and you can connect the specific topics as you see needed, and that is math. So math is something that can tie into Candyland, Gingerbread Village building, and Lego. So you could give the child in your life, perhaps they're talking about fractions, and this is actually a really great example. And you can use Lego blocks to teach fractions. So each of the little different types of blocks can represent different fractions of a whole piece. And it's very easy to create a whole shape with Lego blocks and either use color sections of specific size blocks to represent a half, a third, a fourth, an eighth, a sixteenth, whatever it is you're trying to teach to represent that specific fraction. And then teaching them to carry out calculating what the answer is. So Lego is really great for that. Lego is also really great for addition and subtraction and division and multiplication, because you can create games and story problems around a lesson that you're trying to teach, perhaps 5, timetables or a specific division problem. And you can create a story problem around it and tell a story that the child has to listen to and then carry out the actions. So if it's five blue rectangle blocks times six yellow squares, they have to get those two groups of types of blocks, put them either however they want to do it, connect them together either in a stack or on one of those mats so that they can see that it's five times six, and then look at it and figure it out. And yes, it's more of a drawn out process for them to practice a times table. And there might be a little cheating involved because they might sit there and count the five and then the six and combine them together. And that's not necessarily memorizing the five times the six equals and then the answer. So it's, but they're experiencing and visually seeing that you have five of one and six of another, and what is the answer? You can do it with using the little nubs on a specific block and practicing division that way. There's all kinds of fun ways you can use something like Lego to practice math. You can do the same thing with building a gingerbread village. And we're in winter, which is why I still lean on the gingerbread village topic. It's something that's more connected to the holidays, but I go back to it again and again because it's that fanciful idea of make-believe, which is great for kids' imagination and their mental and emotional health, and ours too as adults, to create creative stories around something that is happy and joyful. And so you can get kids to create stories around their gingerbread village. Who lives there? Where do they come from? What is in their village? What do they like to do in their village? Those things aren't math. Those things are language and literacy and critical thinking and creativity and vocabulary and all of those things. Excuse me. But you can use the loose parts that they choose to create their village from to practice math. Now you can, I completely forgot about this form of math too, when I was talking about the Lego example. You can practice measurement with all of these things, with Lego, with gingerbread land, gingerbread village building, and Candyland. You can practice height, width, and weight measurement with these things. But with the Candyland example, you can actually, well, and the gingerbread example as well, actually, because you can get them to cook and actually measure ingredients. And that's another form of practice of math. And so this is a little deep dive into how you can take learning from their formal virtual setting and bring it into a real life experience. Give them these tangible experiences, which also gives them a brain break and a mental and emotional opportunity to process, because then they get to take the lesson and they get to actually experience it. They get to create the lesson with a physical thing. So this is a multi-layered episode, but I want it to be fun because these are heavy topics we're getting into, because we're experiencing heavy things, big frustrations, big emotions. But that doesn't mean that the solutions can't be fun. In fact, when things get overwhelming, the solution is almost always more fun, because that's how you reduce the overwhelm, is by doing something that is enjoyable, that reduces that sense of frustration and overwhelm, and makes something like math less of a struggle, less of a challenge, less of a frustration, because it becomes enjoyable. And when you focus on the fun aspect, kids often will forget that they're learning math. Now, if you go back through last season's episodes or the season before that, I mentioned this as well in talking about construction. Construction is a theme, it's a topic, but it involves a lot of math, a lot of eye-hand coordination, a lot of listening skills. All of these things that kids are very possibly struggling to engage while learning virtually, because it is very difficult to sit for 6 hours and listen to somebody talk who isn't right there when you have a question in the moment to show you how to break down what you're not understanding. And giving kids those activity experiences allows that breakdown to happen, so that the learning becomes tangible. Construction ties into all of these topics that I just said we were going to talk about today. The Lego, the gingerbread, the Candyland. You can tie construction to creativity, to science. What materials mix together to bind things? What is the cause and effect of making a building stand using these materials over here versus these materials over here? That is also experimentation. That is also an excellent way to reignite kids' desire to learn and build new skills that allow them to learn the lessons that are being spoken to them through virtual learning, but doing so in a real, tangible, hands-on, real experience way. Now, that may sound overwhelming of, oh my goodness, how am I going to do that? What would I use? How would I start? Don't panic. There are so many resources available to give you ideas, but I'm going to give you one. You can go to the creativecampusonline.com, and I offer 2 experiences, a weekly boredom buster and a weekly live lesson. In the loose parts live lesson, we talk about a specific loose part and how to take that specific loose part and turn it into the activity examples that I gave today. What that experience can also ultimately be is you joining me for that virtual session and asking questions about how you can turn a specific lesson that your child is trying to learn virtually into a tangible experience. And we can work through it together each and every week. So again, I will invite you to head on over to thecreativecampusonline.com and check out those experiences. I hope you will join me for them. They will be greatly beneficial, no matter the age or skill level of the child in your life, because it's all customizable. And as we round out this week's episode, I want you to remember to take it one day at a time. We are living through still very frustrating, difficult, trying times. But that does not mean we have to burn out. There are resources out there. You join one each and every week that I hope helps you reduce that frustration and that confusion. And there are ways that we can build a community from this podcast into something that is face-to-face, virtual, where we can come together to help each other come up with solutions to the things the kids in our lives are facing. You're not doing this alone. We are all going through this together, still, all this time later. Some of us are going through it as a parent. Some of us are going through it as a teacher. Some of us are going through it as a caregiver. And some of us are going through it as human beings in general. We're all in it together. And we all have different perspectives. And we all have something to contribute to all of these conversations. My job is to create the opportunities to have those conversations. So, I hope you have a fun and productive week. I hope you remember to reduce your mental, emotional, and social overwhelm or exhaustion as you go into the rest of this week and the weeks to come. I also hope you will come back for next week's episode, where we will dive into another fun learning and skill-building topic together. I also hope to virtually get to talk to you face-to-face in my weekly events that are to come in the future. Have a great rest of your week, and I will talk to you next time.